Today FM's Dermot and Dave.
The Blarney Stone, and obviously, you know, you kiss the Blarney Stone. It's a rite of passage for every American tourist as they come to Ireland. But here's the thing. In a post-COVID world, was it ever going to open? Well, just this week, it did. And we're going to chat now to Paula Sullivan, who's the marketing manager for Blarney Castle and Gardens, home to the world-famous Blarney Stone. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, lads. How are you?
Is this the first time in 600 years that people had been forced to stop kissing it?
Yeah, absolutely. When we were making the decision to stop it, I actually asked the owner, I said, has this ever happened before? And he said, no, this will be the first time. Wow. I was quite amazed. But yeah, seemingly it was the first time in its history.
What is the history of it? Because I suppose we all know the Blarney Stone. A lot of us have visited the Blarney Stone. Some of us have even kissed it. But what is the actual history of the stone?
So it was originally an altar stone that was brought over from the Holy Land during the Crusades. And it was actually given as a gift to the Lord of the castle. So for safekeeping then, he built it into the outer battlements at the very top. So that's why it's...
For safekeeping, he put it out there so they get, you know, hit by a cannonball or something. why did he give him a stone?
So it was, he sent troops to help with the Battle of Bannockburn. So they gave him half of this altar stone as a thank you.
Okay. Right. And he's like, yeah, gold would have been nice, actually.
Thanks for the rock. So has it stayed in the same family for centuries, or has it changed hands a few times, or what's the story now? Because I know Charles Coulthurst is the owner, isn't he?
Yeah, so Charles, his family have owned it since 1864. They've owned the castle here. The previous family before that was the Jeffreys. And there was a couple of groups kind of before that, but originally it was the McCarthy family then that actually built the castle in 1446.
Right.
So over the years, there's really been three main groups that have owned the castle and gardens here.
Where did the kissing the stone and the gift to the gab and all that, when did that appear?
So that started around the same time. And the reason for that was the Lord of the Castle was walking around our lake one night. There's a 22-acre lake here on the estate.
Wow.
And he heard these awful screams coming from the lake. So he looked in and he saw a woman drowning. So he jumped in and saved her. And when he pulled her onto shore, he got a bit of a fright because it was the witch that lived on the estate. So the witch, as a thank you for saving his life, told him that if he kissed the stone, it would get rid of his speech impediment. So that's where the gift of eloquence or the gift of gab comes from.
Right.
Right.
So people since then have been kissing it as a kind of a, well, we hope it might help me as well, whether it's an impediment or whether it's just to improve your speech.
Yeah, so we get a lot of people whose jobs involve speaking, like yourselves, lads, or, you know, people who have big presentations at work coming up or things like that, and they generally would tell us the story of why they're going to kiss it when they arrive.
Okay, but I mean, isn't the majority of your trade, I presume, is coaches of American tourists, though, isn't it?
Yeah, so generally about 40% of our business would be American, and about 90% would be international.
Right, gotcha.
Okay. I was a bit mean of the witch to sort of hold back the favour of helping his speech impediment until he saved her life. Like, why couldn't you have just said it to him? Oh, how are you? I see you have a lisp. Kiss the stone, like, just to be sound. Why did you have to go through all that?
I suppose, do you know any sound witches? Yeah.
Because,
you know, they're a tough crowd.
Yeah, but on the other argument, you could say maybe the witches were just oppressed people, you know, and it was time for, finally, she got some recognition for
maybe.
Something.
Very true.
And has the stone ever, has anyone ever tried to steal the stone?
No, we've never had someone try to steal it. We have had people make offers to buy the stone. There's quite a famous story of a World Trade kind of fair that was happening in the United States back in the early 1900s. And they actually wanted to bring the stone over to America to be kissed over there. But there's a bit of a superstition about actually removing the stone. So funnily enough, we actually get about, it's probably 15 to 20 parcels a year of pieces of stone from the castle returned to us. Because people had bad luck since they've stolen it.
No way. The devils.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a very famous one. It was a guy, I think his name was Liam Sermon. He was from Canada. It was in the press here. This was years ago. And he'd been divorced twice, I think. He'd a bad car accident, financial ruin, all this. And so I actually got one yesterday. It came in a nice jewellery box with a letter saying, please return it to its place in the castle.
Wow, that witch, she's powerful.
which is quite funny and amazing. But we know the packages because it's just addressed to the Blarney Stone, Blarney, and we're like, well, we know what that is. So
Paul, I'm gonna give you an idea here. So the World Fair, World whatever it was, wanted the stone over there, and you obviously, you know, no one's taking the stone out of its place.
Yeah.
Get another stone and tell them it's the Blarney Stone, and go all around the world and charge people a fortune.
That'd be a great job, wouldn't it? I could travel the world with the stone.
Absolutely,
yeah.
You could bring bad luck on yourself though by doing that.
Come here. What's the story?
Just before we get on to now, a lot of celebrities, I'd say, must have kissed the stone over the year. Who are the most famous faces you remember turning upside down to have a go?
In recent times, I mean, we Gerard Houllier, Dave will love that, former Liverpool manager, was in recently. I actually had to give him a tour, Dave, so that was a struggle as well, being a United fan.
I don't think Liverpool fans need something to help them with the gift of the gab at the moment, let's be honest.
No, I don't think so. But Catherine Jenkins, the classical singer, was in a couple of years ago as well. You know, we've had quite a lot over the years, but we've had none kind of, I suppose, in the last year or so. There hasn't been too many recent ones. Generally, to be honest with you, we hear about them afterwards.
You know,
come in and, you know, they've kind of been incognito, and then we kind of see it on social media or something like that afterwards.
Well, talk to us very briefly about the owner, Charles, who is a massive Liverpool fan, made you write a big social media post about how brilliant Liverpool were and how they deserve to be congratulated, was the first person to kiss the stone when it reopened in his Liverpool jersey. And didn't he make you fly a flag?
Yeah, there's a Liverpool flag flying from the top of the castle at the moment. So
that is.
Any time I pass the castle, I'm just like, oh, the view has been totally ruined.
What's the story with COVID-19? Have you had to take precautions with the stone that obviously people want to, you know, kiss it still?
Yeah, absolutely. We've introduced a massive range of safety measures. So we worked with a company here in Cork, Enva. They're an environmental company, and they do COVID solutions for, I suppose, business going back to work. But they have, I suppose, it's a disinfectant spray that actually, when it's applied to the stone and left to dry for a minute, it kills 99.9% of viruses, and that actually includes human coronavirus.
Right.
So they came out and did some testing here on the stone just to obviously, one, make sure that it worked, two, there was no effects to the stone, because we looked at other options like UV light, but that actually would bleach the stone. So that would have been interesting.
The witch would come back and get you, I think, if you did that.
So they were fantastic, in fairness, to come out, and we did a lot of work over the last couple of months. But, you know, like the staff now at the castle, they're temperature checked in the morning, they're wearing face shields, gloves, and we're limiting the amount of people in the castle. We're doing contact tracing as they're going into the building as well. The cleaning of the castle is done throughout the day by a member of staff as well. So there's been a lot.
Yeah.
We had to put extra staff on, obviously, for this. But, you know, I suppose we were getting a lot of emails from people saying, you know, we're coming soon. Will it be open? Won't it be open? And things like that. And, you know, I suppose it gave us the opportunity as well to bring back some staff who've been out of work as well for 3 months, you know, so they were thrilled
to
be able to come back and try and you know, get back in the swing of things here. Mm.
What's nice is that it's going to be visited by a lot more Irish people, and they'll be sort of reconnecting with that part of their heritage and maybe rediscovering something that they did as a child.
Oh, absolutely. And I think people would be pleasantly surprised, because I think, you know, they probably just imagine that it's just, you know, the castle out in the field and they come and kiss the stone. But the gardens here are absolutely world class. You know, we've 60 acres of gardens here, and there's just so much to see. We've our poison garden and carnivorous courtyard and the lake and the fern garden. There's loads. So, I mean, you really could spend 4 or 5 hours here and you know, have a great day out.
In fact, didn't we speak a while ago to somebody from the gardens about one of your very famous trees?
You did. You spoke to our head gardener, Adam Whitbourne, about the European Tree of the Year.
That's right.
Unfortunately, we didn't win, unfortunately.
No. But you were a finalist.
We were finalists, which is great. I mean, we were delighted to represent Ireland in that. And
yeah.
It's a great competition. So,
and remind everybody what the tree is again, why it's so special.
It's our famous yew tree. So it's over 600 years old, and it's in an area called the Rock Close. And this is actually where the witch lived. And her witch's kitchen is actually underneath this tree. So it's a spectacular location.
Guys, if you don't open a cafe in Blarney Castle called The Witch's Kitchen, you're maniacs.
Do you know what the funny thing is, Dave? We actually opened a cafe last year and we went through so many names and The Witch's Kitchen didn't win. So.
Oh, come on.
What is it?
What did you call it?
Cozy Country. What did you go?
I think we just called it the Blarney Castle Cafe because the witches, it was just so far away from it. We just didn't want to do that. So
I would totally go visit the witch's kitchen. Paul O'Sullivan, marketing manager of Blarney Castle and Gardens. Thanks so much for filling us in. Best of luck with everything reopening. And great to hear you're employing more staff and all the rest down there. Fair play to you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Cheers, Paul.
See you.
Bye.
But that is lovely. People are going to be getting out and seeing all these tourist attractions that we kind of let the Americans to it a lot of the time. But now we can get back in there and because with all our staycations, we can enjoy it. And there's Blarney Castle and Bunratty and Napogue and Kilkenny Castle and all these wonderful castles.
Dermot and Dave, listen live on air from 9 a.m. weekdays on Today FM.